In the midst of our studies, brethren and sisters, this meeting, of course, takes a very special character for all of us as we come to personally participate in these emblems. It's a very great pleasure to be led in thought, in preparation for those emblems, by the words of our brother Mansfield.
My dear brethren and sisters in Christ Jesus, we have been exhorted this morning to consider him who is the apex of all faith, who is God manifest in the flesh, who in his character revealed unto us the glory of the Father in the heavens. We consider him as a man of our nature, but a man who possessed a mind that was divine. A man that was clothed with all the weakness of mortality, but who derived the strength above all that in order that he might conquer all its demands. This one whom we are to consider was rich but became poor that we might be enriched. We're here to consider him. He was begotten from above that he might conquer as he did conquer. And he taught us also that we too must be begotten from above. Not as he was begotten from above, but we are begotten from above by the power of the word of truth that will plant in us the seed of a new life that we can live before Almighty God. And he told Nicodemus, unless ye be begotten from above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. When Nicodemus could not understand that, he added these words, that a man must be born of water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. And a person that is born of water and of the Spirit word is not a person that's merely baptized. He's a person that's a new person in Christ Jesus, called a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. He has begun a new life in Christ, a new beginning, a different perspective, a changed outlook. And we're here this morning that we might remember that we might commemorate that. We are told by the Apostle Paul, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And the mind in Christ Jesus was a mind to win. It was the will to conquer. And because that was strong in him, he drew all the resources of his heavenly Father in the battle of life that faced him, and he won. And hence, whilst all those other men and women that we have considered on this weekend failed somewhere along the line, he did not. He is the very apex of our study. In all the other characters, we have examples, and we have an example in him. But they are not essential. He is. No man is indispensable in the work of God, not even a man of the character of Moses. That Jesus Christ is indispensable. He is indispensable because he won a battle. And he won a battle on his own account, but in addition to that, he won it on our account as well. He made it possible for us to succeed. He was like Joshua, who conquered the Canaanites, but left it to the individual Israelites to conquer on their own behalf. And when they failed to do that, he exhorted them, why are ye so slack, he said, to go in and to possess your inheritance? Brethren and sisters, Jesus Christ speaks to us in the same terms as that. He has made it possible for each one of us to win. Each one of us can obtain our inheritance. The issue is up to us. and the exhortation of Joshua is really the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are ye so slack to enter into your inheritance? It demanded of the Israelites a battle, and they saw the enemy was strong. But they should have known that sufficient, that Joshua had led them to that point of time. And now if they proceeded on, they would gain the victory. We're here this morning because there's one that has enabled us to gain the victory. And whether we gain it or not depends not upon him. It depends upon us. We are told in this chapter that he is the author and finisher of faith. That really means the leader. He has led them all. He led every one of those faithful men. They saw him, though he had not then lived. Of Abraham it is said, he saw my day and he was glad. Of Moses it is said, the reproach of Christ was greater riches than the glory of Egypt. And of David it is said, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne, he spake of the resurrection of Christ. Those men lived before the Lord Jesus Christ, but faith took hold of them and enabled them to see to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they studied the character of the Father, they knew who the Lord Jesus Christ would be. Faith took them into the future, you see, and faith enabled them to see that one, even the Lord Jesus Christ. We, from our vantage point, look back and we see him as well. And we center on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we join, as it were, with Moses and with David and these other great men of faith as we center our attention upon the Lord at this time. And that is really what the apostle is telling us here in this first verse. He says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The analogy is drawn, of course, from the Olympic Games. They were celebrated every fifth year in Greece. They were watched by a huge concourse of people. These people assembled around the huge amphitheater, and tier upon tier there would be the onlookers looking at the contestants in the center of that field. And in those days of the Olympic Games, special positions were selected for veterans in the races on earlier occasions. And in those seats in the place of honor, among those tiers of the spectators would be found those that have won in previous contests, and now they've given it up for a younger generation to compete in that arena. And that's the picture that we have here. We are, as it is, in the race of life. We're in that amphitheater, and around us there are those that are watching our efforts on this occasion. And among them there are honored seats given to men like Abel and men like Enoch, and men like Noah, and men like Abraham. Or among the women, there is Sarah, and there's Jochebed, there's Rahab, and there is Deborah. And it is as though, the picture he is drawing, is as though those previous contestants in the games are now watching us as we give ourselves to that which is before us. And every one of them, as in imagination, they look at our efforts, they remind us that it is possible to succeed. Every one of them in their day and generation have battled with problems exactly the same as our own. If we want to take the time to look and search closely into the records of God's Word, you will find a character that reflects to your own possibilities, your own problems in life. And there they are, and they're there to tell us what we can succeed. Every one of those that have gone before us and have faithfully set their task before Almighty God and are found in this honor roll of the faithful in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, every one of them are telling us one exhortation, and the exhortation is that we can succeed. This man Abel was put to death by a man who hated him, who, as far as that was concerned, was a fellow worshipper. And there are those down through the ages who have been hated by those that have borne the name of Christian, But the very statement of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews reminds any in that such that position that they can succeed because Abel succeeded. A man like Enoch, he stood up and he witnessed to his contemporaries round about him. And we might do the same. And we might have no response, but we're doing it in faith. And the words of Enoch and the urging of Enoch reminds us that we can too can succeed. So you see, all those characters are there, and they're recorded, not because God was interested in writing a book, but recorded for our benefit. All these things happened to them as examples, said Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, and they are recorded there for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. They're there that we might be inspired by their action, that we might be inspired by the faith that motivated them in the various circumstances of their life. And they are there to urge us on, whilst, of course, the leader and the finisher of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. But every one of those characters that are recorded in that 11th chapter of Hebrews reminds us this, that more than an academic faith is required. There is such a thing as an academic faith. I can have an academic faith on my own account. I am quite certain, as far as that is concerned, that no one could shake my conviction that the Bible is the Word of God. I know beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ is to return to this earth. It's obviously clear to my mind that the kingdom of God is going to be established. There's no problem in that. I have the faith to see it. But whether I allow that faith to motivate my action is another matter. It becomes then a practical faith and not a mere academic faith. We can have an academic faith but not allow that faith to motivate our lives as God would have us motivate our lives. Faith without works, we must remind ourselves, is dead. As the Apostle Paul says when he wrote to the Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up, but love humbleth. And we need to exercise great care in that which is set before us as we take hold of the things of God. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beget us. Every weight means every piece of superlative fat. We must train to get rid of that. If we're going to contest in any sort of sport, we must train to succeed. A person that never trains to succeed will never succeed, no matter how brilliant he may imagine himself to be. And that training enters into every aspect of life. It's a mental training as well as a physical one. It enters into his habits, and it dictates to him his diet. And all these things form part of training if you're going to train to win in any contest of any sort of sport. You must do it in every way. The mind must synchronize with the will to win. The mind must synchronize with the body. What we eat is going to govern whether we're in a fit state to run that race or whatever we might do in the sporting arena. And the same is true as far as the Word of God is concerned. Because the food that is set before us that we might gain the victory is found in the Word of God. And the practice and the habits that we develop now will dictate whether we're going to succeed or otherwise in the things that God has set us to do. We must get fat, we must get fit. We must avoid the food that will make us flabby. We must give ourselves to discipline. We must regulate our lives. These are all the principles that enter into the successful manifestation of faith in action. And all those men and women that we have considered in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, they gave themselves to these considerations. They developed above all else the will to win. And it's possible to develop a will to win. If you don't develop a will to win, you will not win, because the difficulties are going to be great in the race of life. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight, everything that will hinder us to gain the kingdom of God, and also the sin which doth so easily beget us. And it is said that the apostle had in mind the flowing garments that were, of course, habitual in those days. The athlete got rid of those that he might not be hampered in any way in the race that was before him. So he shed his garments that he might run or might contest the better. And he might be free in every way that he might run successfully before these spectators, that he might gain the victory. And there is a sin which doth so easily beget each one of us. and we don't know what it is in our fellows. We've got to look inside ourselves for that. There are weaknesses of which every one of us are conscious. Our fellows don't know about that. Almighty God does. And we must recognize that if we're going to train properly for the race that is set before us. You know, in training for sports, very often a sportsman will train against himself. In running, for example, he will give himself a certain time period to run to a certain place, and on the morrow he must beat that. And he sets himself the will to do it. And he will give everything possible that he might win. And he will look inward as far as himself is concerned as to well he can shape up to that which is before him. And you know, there's something in the mind, even in a sportsman, that will drive him on. Some ambition to get there first. And if he has that strong enough, he will do everything in his power to win. That is what the apostle is speaking about here. He knew what he was speaking about. And in the spiritual realm, we must be in the same way. Faith is a confident anticipation of things hoped for, a full persuasion of things not seen. We must have the will to win. And therefore, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. With perseverance, with patience, with determination. You know, the sportsman in the arena had to do that. In running a race, for example, the time comes when your body tells you you can't go any further. But the mind to win is there, and the mind to win calls upon the body to exert even further energy in this running. You get what they call your second wind. You keep on running, and your mind tells you you can do it, you've got to do it. Look, the glory is there. Come on! And you force your body to do something that under normal circumstances you would never do. If you've ever been in a situation like that, it's quite a strain. But you know, you finish, and you look back, and you're glad. And so the apostle is speaking of that, and he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word author really means a leader. The same word is rendered in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 as captain, the captain of our salvation. It is the same word. We look unto the leader and finisher of faith, not our faith, of faith. And there he is. There's the leader. There's the finisher. There's the one at the head. There's the one that's going to gather up at the end. He is the leader. He is the captain. He's in a class on his own. He's there before us. Nobody can match him. All others fail, but not that leader. He continues on as the captain of our salvation. And as the captain of our salvation, he is one that has gone before and one that has crippled the common enemy and made way for us to succeed. A captain fights on the same level as does the private. But the captain has a greater responsibility upon him, and by his superior mind, he's able to gain a victory that the private could never win. He gains that victory for himself and for those that follow him as well. He's like a strong swimmer who in a stormy sea will swim to land with a life rope, and he's going to save himself as well as the others that are in that boat, that stormy boat with him. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the leader. He is the one that's leading the way to which we are called upon to set our mind. We are to look to him. We are to look to him as the runner in the arena looks towards the success that awaits him there. And he sees in the far distance the limit to where he is to run. He's got to set his mind exclusively upon that. He must get there before anybody else. He dare not look at the other contestants. Not at all. He governs his mind by one objective, to get to that point before anybody else. And that is in his mind to win in that way. And the will to win is there. And he will force every nerve and sinew and every muscle of his body that he might attain unto that success. And he never allows that to get out of his mind. You know, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? To do that with Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus in that way. To bear him ever in mind in all the circumstances of life. Isn't it hard? Isn't it difficult? Do you do it in the midst of business? Do you do it when you... and in the very affluence that we have and the things that we have, let us make a dedication of those to Almighty God in this way, that we don't put a great deal of responsibility upon them, but we see the futility of them, and we set the kingdom of God vividly before us as we consider Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. So we come around the table of our absent Lord this morning, absent because he's not physically with us, but present with us in spirit, as we know that he said he would be. We consider him this day. We take that bread, we take that wine, we see that as the symbol of a sacrifice that he paid, the denial of flesh, the giving of his life unto God. We can do that. Even in our affluence, we can do that. We can give ourselves, our life, in a life of dedication and sacrifice. We can deny ourselves certain things that under normal circumstances we could indulge in. And we can take our life and present that life before Almighty God as the blood upon the altar dedicated there that we might serve him. That is what the bread and the wine means to us as we gather this morning around the table of this great exponent of faith, the greatest exponent of faith of all time, the leader of faith, and the captain of our salvation, the one that we follow, the shepherd that will lead us down through the valley of the shadow of death to the broad ways beyond where the kingdom will be established. And if it be the will of the Father, we shall be there. What a glorious occasion that will be, brethren and sisters, where we all as a great company, and a great company that no man can number, and we will rejoice before our God, we will rejoice with one another, and we will go forth to labour for Jesus Christ, and in the company of one another, with whom we have laboured in this life, as I believe we will have in the kingdom of God. May Yahweh breathe with each one of us. May his blessing shower down upon us. May the hearts of each one of us burn with a desire of faith. Let us come before the throne of grace at this time, and partaking of the bread and wine, make a vow before our God that we will be prepared to sacrifice our own lives that we might serve him in spirit and in truth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.